You know, we come here like this, whether it's Sunday morning or any other time, I hope that we do not come here simply out of habit. I hope that we don't come here to be merely religious or churchy or even good, so to speak, but that we come here to truly meet with God, to hear from Him, to encounter Him. We come here to meet with a God who is real, a God who is living, a God who's in fact active, not only throughout the world, but in our lives. And we come here to seek that God. And as we come here before that God who works and moves, as we've stated many times, I know all of us, in fact, has dealt with it some last week. All of us, as we come here this morning, have something on our minds, and maybe a decision we're wrestling with, maybe a need that we have, or a concern or a worry, either for ourselves or for our family members. But for a moment, I don't want you to think about that issue, whatever that issue is for you. I want you to think about the last issue. You know, the last time you were facing a major decision, the last time you were facing a need, the last time you faced some sort of a problem or a crisis in your life. And I want you to think about that last time. What did God's work then teach you about what you need to know as you face the current situation that you're in, whatever that may be for you? This morning, as we open God's Word, we're going to be in Mark chapter 8. We'll see how important it is for us to learn the lessons that God desires to teach us in the various circumstances and situations we go through, not only for that time, but in fact, even more so for the next time. If you, as we turn to Mark chapter 8, I want you to actually also have in the back of your mind Mark chapter 6. You remember that passage in Mark 6 where our Lord fed the 5,000? And you remember how He fed the 5,000, that's 5,000 men, by the way. You start adding in the children, the women, you get somewhere between 15,000 and 20,000 people. But you think about the feeding of the 5,000, five loaves, two fish. You think about that tremendous work. Who could possibly have been there that day and not have been absolutely amazed at our Lord's ability to handle that problem? Who could have experienced that work of God and not be able to trust Him with every single thing that they faced in life after that? I mean, who could see such a thing, experience such a thing, and not be able to trust God the next time they had an issue or a problem? You know the answer to that question? The disciples. They were there. They experienced it. They participated in it. And yet the very next time they faced a problem, they were not able to trust the Lord. In fact, as we come to Mark chapter 8, we see the feeding of the 4,000, fewer people, with more resources to begin with. And yet, even after seeing what our Lord had done with more people and fewer resources, they were unable to trust Him in the current situation. Just like it may be this, we face a current situation, we've forgotten how God worked and moved in whatever previous situation we found ourselves in. So look with me, Mark chapter 8, and let's look at verses 1 through 10. In those days, when there was again a large crowd and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples and said to them, "I feel compassion for the people because they've remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them will have come from a great distance." And His disciples answered Him, "Where will anyone be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people?" And He was asking them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, 7. And He directed the people to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, He gave thanks and broke them and started giving them to His disciples to serve them, and they served them to the people. They also had a few small fish. And after He had blessed them, He ordered these to be served as well. And they ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 7 large baskets full of what was left over of the broken pieces. About 4,000 were there, and He sent them away. And immediately He entered the boat with His disciples and came to the district of Dalmanutha. I want you to think about this again, especially in contrast to what we've seen just a couple of chapters ago. Not very long in time, in fact, before this. Our Lord fed a bigger crowd with fewer resources, and yet the next time around in a similar situation, but again, not quite, still big situation, still a big problem, the disciples weren't able to trust. And again, you think about that from where you are now. Sure, every one of us in here has a decision we're trying to make or a burden for ourselves, our family, whatever the case may be. But think back on the last time you have faced a decision, had a problem, faced a need, had some crisis in your family. What did you learn then that should enable you to trust God now? You know, as we look over this passage and we somewhat compare the two together, we see some key lessons that the disciples needed to learn, and they're the very same lessons that we need to learn. Same truths that we need to remember when we come to the situation we're in now as we look back on the previous situation. So look over this passage. Look at what the tremendous lessons that are here. They needed to learn. We need to learn. Number one, we need to remember His compassion. And understand what I mean by compassion. I know we use that word today, and we usually mean just simply on an emotional level. You know, somebody's going through a problem, and it makes us feel bad they're going through a problem. When you talk about compassion, however, and you see it in the biblical sense and the way in which our Lord is using it here, interesting, we'll see used in both passages, it actually means not only does He have an emotional response, gee, I feel bad because they're going through this, but the definition is He cares enough to act. Think with me. Look back at verses 1 through 2. In those days when there was again a large crowd and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples and said to them, I feel compassion for the people because they've remained with Me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. Again, the compassion. Yes, He not only felt bad that they were hungry, but He cared enough that He was going to act. And you see, the disciples should have known our Lord have had this response. Because again, you go back to Mark chapter 6, and you think about what we read in verse 34. When Jesus went ashore, He saw a large crowd, and He felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and He began to teach them many things. We are before a God who cares enough to act. Certainly, we see this beginning with salvation. It is God who cared enough to make salvation possible and to bring us to that salvation. Probably, I'm sure all of us have memorized John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you understand that that shows, demonstrates God's compassion? How? He saw the problem, He cared about us that we had the problem, and He cared enough to send His only begotten Son to live, die, and rise again for our sins. We're before a God of compassion. He cares enough to act. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you're wondering how you can deal with your sins, how you can be right with God, is based upon His compassion. He loves you enough that He sent His Son to live, die, and rise again. He has sent His Spirit to convict you, to draw you to Himself. Could it be as you're here this morning that whatever other need or problem or burden or decision you're facing this morning, more than anything else, you need to place your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ. But that compassion does not end with salvation. Conversion. For we who are children of God, for we who are believers, we who are born again, it marks the beginning of a lifetime of experiencing God's compassion. The fact that the Almighty God, who created all things, rules over all things, cares enough to act in our life. He cares enough to act in your life, in that problem, that issue, that decision that you have this morning. You think about what we read over in Psalm 103 and in verse 13. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. And you think about the picture there, the illustration of a father, we could even say a parent, if you will. What parent in this room, and of course many of you are grandparents, some of you are great-grandparents, what parent in this room, when their child has a need, does not care enough to act about that need? I mean, if your child was hungry, would you not care enough to provide food for them? Isn't that why you got up and went to work every morning? In fact, his parents, grandparents, think with me. Which usually troubles you more? A problem that you yourself have or a problem that your child has? That is, how many times have you seen your child go through some circumstance, situation, and deep down you really wish that you were the one going through it rather than them? And you think about it, that was the illustration from Psalm, and our Father is so much greater than anything we could be. We are before a God of compassion. He cares enough to act. He cares about every single thing that we go through. You think about what we read in Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 22 through 23, the basis for one of those wonderful hymns we sang this morning. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You think about the picture that's being expressed there. It's like every single morning when you and I wake up, God's compassion for us is full. We have a brand new supply of it every single morning. Whatever the circumstance, situation, need, decision, crisis, whatever it is we're going through, it is brand new every single morning. The disciples, you know, they should have remembered this. As we sit here this morning, we ought to remember it. As you face the whatever it is that you're facing this morning, it may be something small, but nevertheless, it's there. Think back on the last time. Didn't our Father care enough about you to act in that situation? If nothing else, to strengthen you and carry you through it? What is there to worry or to fear now? You think of the Father that we are before. Remember His compassion. But no, notice what else. Remember, number two, His capability. Think about verses 3 through 4. Our Lord speaking, if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance. And His disciples answered Him, where will anyone be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people? You see what they're saying. They look around you. We're out in the middle of nowhere. We have this huge crowd. They're very hungry. Most of these people were poor to begin with. They hadn't had anything to eat for 3 weeks. How on earth are we going to feed these people? Do you see what they had forgotten? They had forgotten about the fact that our Lord, in fact, had already fed a larger crowd with fewer resources. In fact, let's go back and let's look at what they ought to be remembering. I'm not trying to bash them. I'm trying to learn from them. But go back with me to Mark chapter 6. And let's look at verses 35 through 44. When it was already late, His disciples came to Him and said, this place is desolate. Sounds like kind of like where we are now. And it's already quite late. Send them away so they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But He answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to Him, shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat? And He said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go look. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And He commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up toward heaven, He blessed the food and broke the loaves and kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And He divided up the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the 12 baskets of the broken pieces and also the fish. And there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. And again, you think about it, a larger crowd, fewer resources. And yet our Lord had been able to perfectly meet the need. They had seen God work, but they forgot His ability to handle the situation. And by the way, they weren't the first ones to do this. Think with me what we see over in Psalm 106, verse 13. Psalm 106 goes through a good portion of the history of Israel up to that point. And you think about what we read down in verse 13. And by the time you get to verse 13, The psalmist has already described the Exodus, the plagues, God providing manna in the wilderness, God feeding, God providing water in the midst of the wilderness. And yet what happens at verse 13? They quickly forgot his works, and they did not wait for his counsel. You think about that. This is the generation that saw the plagues in Egypt. This was the generation that experienced God's deliverance at the Red Sea. This is the generation who every morning went out and there was manna for them. This is the generation that saw God provide them water in the wilderness. But what happened? They forgot. They weren't able to trust. Like the disciples, they had seen him feed the 5,000, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Now they have 4,000, and yet they have more bread and more fish, but they're unable to trust because they don't think, they have forgotten that our Lord, in fact, had the capability to, in fact, to meet the need. Think back. Again, the last time you were facing a situation similar or at least of the same nature you're in now. And be very honest with yourself before the Lord. Was God able to handle that situation or not? Was he able to meet the need or not? Was he capable of carrying you through that time or not? Could he solve the problem or not? Like the people in Psalm, in the Psalm we just read, like the disciples, if we'd stop and think about it, we'd all have to acknowledge he was, in fact, sufficient. And thinking about a God who could have handled all that, we went through that last time. Again, what is there to worry or to fear? Why do we doubt now? Remember his capability. And for that matter, think back to the problem you had before the last problem. Was God not able to handle that one? Then why did we find it so difficult to trust him in the last one and still haven't learned and find it difficult to trust in this one? Like the disciples, like Israel, we've forgotten his capability. We're truly before an almighty God. Even the events in our own lives that we stop and think about show us, we have a God that we can trust. He's brought me through similar situations, sometimes worse situations. There's no reason he can't carry us through this one. We need to remember his compassion. We need to remember his capability. But then thirdly, we also need to remember his completeness. And by that I mean just how perfectly he deals with the situation. Think back again at chapter 6 and verse 42. They all ate and were satisfied. And remember, these are very poor people. Some commentators said this is probably the first time their stomachs had ever been full, or at least first time in a long time. And yet, what does it say? They all ate and were satisfied. It's not that they had enough of a snack to get back home. They ate and were satisfied. Think what we read now as we go back to our passage there, as we look at chapter 8, think about what we read in the very first part of verse 8. They ate and were satisfied. They've been there for 3 days. You have any idea how hungry these people were? But now they ate and they were in fact satisfied. And again, you think about the large crowd out in the middle of nowhere, been there for 3 days, but now they're full. There is no problem that our God cannot handle perfectly, precisely, completely. And we need to, in fact, trust him. Again, you think about what we see in the latter part of verse 8. They picked up 7 large baskets full of what was left over of the broken pieces. You think about what we saw back in chapter 6 in verse 43 after he fed that multitude. They picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. You might think, well, now see, there you go. His work was not nearly as good. You go back to the feeding the 5,000 and there were 12 baskets. You look at this time, there are only 7 baskets. When you think about a basket more than needed would have been a miracle. And yet there's something we need to understand. There's a difference there in the word basket. The word basket that you see back in chapter 6, where there was 12 of them left over after the feeding of the 5,000, the word there shows basically what we'd call a small hand basket. The word basket here in chapter 8 actually refers to a larger basket. And you probably know that leads to the obvious question, well, how large was that basket? Well, you know, one of the best ways to understand a word in Scripture is to look at another place where that exact same word is used. And we do have another episode in Scripture where that exact same word for a basket is in fact used. The fact is, it's over in the New Testament. You go over to Acts chapter 9. You recall this is after Saul's wonderful conversion. However, the Jews wanted to put him to death. And you think about what we read in Acts chapter 9, verses 23 through 25, when many days had elapsed. The Jews plotted together to do away with him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night so they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. That's the same word that we're now seeing in Mark 8. How large is this basket? It's large enough to put a man in. 7 of them. Why? Well, it's not for the disciples, unlike the 12 that we, you know, we go back to Mark 6, we kind of always theorize 12 baskets, one for each of the disciples, and that's probably true. We keep reading in Mark as we will, and we find out the disciples don't take any of this with them. The only conclusion being is that our Lord did this so these people would have some food to take with them as they traveled. Because remember, they're 3 days in the journey, wilderness. But my point is this, you think about how completely, how perfectly, how precisely our Lord in fact solved the problem. Why can't we trust Him? You know what is amazing is about our God is the completeness, the precision of His work. You know, it doesn't matter whether you look on the large scale all the way down to the small scale. It doesn't matter if you go out at night and you look at the stars and the planets, their size, the vastness of them, or if you take a walk in the woods in the middle of the day and you see the tiniest little wildflower and yet you see how perfect and beautiful it is. The same God who made all of that made that. You know, we all have jobs and tasks that, you know, we can jump in and do the big stuff, the easy stuff, the fast-moving stuff. But then when it gets down to those real fine details, how it just grinds to a stop. You know, kind of like when you build a house, the framing goes pretty quick, the sheetrock goes pretty quick, but then when it comes to finishing out, everything just grinds down. Do you realize we're before a God who does it all perfectly? The big, fast-moving stuff, if you will, all the way down to the tiniest detail. The completeness of His work. We are before a God who does all things well, as we saw last week. And if we will let Him have this current situation, this current problem, this current need we have, we will see the absolute perfection of His work. The disciples had forgotten. That's why they couldn't trust. As you're facing, again, whatever it is, every one of us in this room has something. Have you forgotten what God did the last time? Or the time before that? Could it be that you need to come before the Lord and trust Him with that situation, that need, that decision, that heartache, that whatever it may be? Beginning, obviously, again, first of all, most importantly, with salvation, but then as believers beyond that. You remember His compassion. He cares enough to act. You remember His capability. There's nothing He cannot do. Remember His completeness. He will handle it perfectly if you trust Him. And whatever it is you're dealing with, are you going to trust Him with it this morning? Let's go to Him in prayer.